passion is something that we are seeing, that we are sold out. Sold out means, you know, once you are sold out, you will never think about something else. Because you think only about those things. This is exactly what is needed in our mission. We need to have a passion. That's where it is a passion. We are sold out. What is being sold out? When you go to bed, you dream about your vision. And when you are awake, you always plan to do something or somehow you want to accomplish your mission. That's what is meant by sold out. The question, are you sold out for the gospel and evangelization? What is your passion? If it is the student community, you need to see that when you go to bed, you dream about preaching gospel to the students or sharing gospel with the students. And when you wake up, you are planning and you are thinking and you are praying, Lord, help me to do something in this day so that I can be a witness for you in the campus, wherever you go. You always think about it. That is in your heart and nothing else is there. Only then you can say that you are sold out. When you have a passion, you are sold out. I told you, what is the need for a mission or a vision? When you have a vision, first of all, you see that you have a target. Otherwise, you know, you are just like people who are beating the bush. We are just like jack of everything and master of nothing. But when you have a vision, you're thinking about something, you have a target, and you somehow want to fulfill the target. Okay? I told it in the last session. So, we are moving forward. When Jesus appoints you to run a race, there is a difference. God wants you to run today's race. At the evening, if you die, you can certainly say that I have finished my race. An athlete cannot say, if he finishes 500 meters instead of 1 kilometer, he cannot say that I finished my race. But we people, we can say I finished my race anytime, because it is an anytime. If you die today, doesn't matter, because you have finished the race. Finished the race means you have run the race you ought to run today. That's all. So every day we need to have a target. What shall I do today? And you need to get it from the Lord. You need to know that from the Lord. So the speciality of a missionary or a person, a Christian, it is that we are people of contentment. I told you, we are people of contentment. We are not always worried about tomorrow, even in our mission work. Because we do not know whether we will be living tomorrow or whether Jesus will come today. Okay, when we are here, it is possible that we hear the trumpet and, you know, we are taken back to our home. Okay, so don't say, Jesus, I have some more work to do here, so I'm not coming today. Will you say like that? No. Any campus missionary, he is doing what he need to do the exact day. Because we do not know whether we will get another chance. So we make use of every chance we get. And evening when you go to bed, you can say, Lord, I thank you because I have run the race. Okay? I have run the race. So every day we have a finishing line. And at the end of our life, we touch us the finishing line. Okay? And then you die. We do not know when it happens. And when you die, you can say, I fought a good fight. I have run the race. And of course, my Jesus is waiting there to crown me. So that's there. So we are people with contentment. Okay? We are not people of worrying things. We are people of contentment. At the same time, we are people of hope. Why? If we live here tomorrow, we have some more things to do. Okay? We are people of contentment and we are people of hope. If I live tomorrow, I have something to do. I told you the disaster in human life is seeing that there is nothing to do. Nothing left. When somebody is seeing that nothing left to accomplish, that is a disaster. That's a disaster. But about our life, it's not like that. We are people of contentment. We are people of hope. never we are people of worries. We do not have any worries. We have hope. We have contentment. And that is perfection. Don't think that perfection is all, we reach perfection only when we reach at the finishing line. Sometimes this is a big problem. Our perfection, the Christian perfection, is something like the perfection of a flower. A flower. You know, the flower, it is not coming, or it is in full bloom, not in one day. One day it is a bud. Right? It's just a bud. And can you say the bud is perfect? The answer is yes and no. A bud is perfect as a bud, but it is not perfect as a flower. Okay? When it is half bloom, then can you say that it's perfect? It's perfect. But it is not in full bloom, so we wait. We are waiting. So we have hope. A flower, a bud has a hope. It knows that it is growing, and it's growing and growing, and finally it is going to become a flower, full bloom flower. Okay? You get me? It's the same in Christian life. Every time a Christian is perfect. Every time. Because he is growing. He is growing. I had a friend, very old fellow. Once when I was studying in college, he came to me and we were talking. And he said, son, I am so sad. I was asking, why? What happened? I called him Appacha. Appacha, what happened? He said, I'm so sad because I have not yet become like Jesus. I'm so sad. I said, I'm not sad. Hey, why? What God expects from you? God wants you to become like Jesus, right? I said, yes. Do you think that you have already become like Jesus? I said, no. Then how can you be happy? Why you are not sad? I said, Abhijit, the thing is, if I want to climb a 10-story building, it takes 10 minutes. After 2 minutes, maybe I have only reached 2 stories. And I will not cry, oh, I'm not in the top. Oh, I've not yet reached the 10th floor. I'm just looking whether I'm climbing. When I look at me and I'm seeing that I'm climbing and climbing, I'm happy. When I look back, I know that I'm growing. Last year I was in the first floor, now I'm in the second floor, I'm growing. So I'm happy. I'm not just worrying, oh. No. This is the same in our Christian life. That's the reason why, who can say that he has reached perfection when somebody dies, you know, cannot say that. If this is the criterion, then you cannot say that you have reached perfection. Okay? You get me, my friends? You get me, everybody? Okay. So we are growing. We are growing. And when we know that we will reach that stage one day, that can happen anytime, even in between. Maybe God will take my life, or he will come back, something will happen, and I'm not sad. Because every time I'm prepared to meet my Lord. Every time. I have no problem if Jesus comes today. I'm a man with contentment. I have no ambitions left. Even in my ministry, even in my life, no ambitions left. I did not have any ambitions. So ambitions left means, you know, it's not ambitions. It's vision. Many people have ambitions. But what we need is vision. When we have an ambition to fulfill, till you fulfill that, you are not happy. But when you have a vision, it is not your ambition, it is God's vision. So you need not worry about that. And always thank God, because God is using you to fulfill his vision. That's all. He is fulfilling his vision in our life. And also sometimes people say, even I am not perfect, how can I share gospel with somebody else. So many people group, and even sometimes even the churches, some churches they teach, you shall not preach gospel because you're not perfect. Only perfect people can share gospel. This is the understanding of many people. I ask you one question. You know, in John, book of John, chapter 1, we know that John the Baptist was introducing Jesus to the people as the Lamb of God. And some of his disciples were just wondering why this man is introducing another person. Normally, the rabbis, they do not do that because they fear that they would lose their disciples. But when he was standing with his disciples, John the Baptist was introducing Jesus, and two of his disciples wanted to go with him, with Jesus. And they went after him and asked them, Rabbi, where do you stay? And he said, come and see. I'm not reading all those passages, I'm just saying it. So they went with Jesus and they stayed with them. One of them was Andrew. Okay, they stayed with Jesus for one day. Do you think that he attained perfection in one day? Tell me. No. But you know what he is doing on the second day? The very next day, he was running towards his brother, Simon, and said, come on, we have met a man. He is the Messiah we are waiting for. Come on. And he is holding the hands of Simon and reaching Jesus. And Simon was converted to Christianity. You get me, my friends? The very next day, Andrew accepted Jesus. He became a witness. So God wants you to be a witness. Of course, we are growing in perfection. But this is not something that we can do. Witnessing is not something that we can do only after we become like Jesus. Of course, we are growing. We are growing. We need to be aware of both the things. The vision gives you a change. Of course, it shapes your life. I know that. And I am for that. And I say, if it doesn't shape your life, your vision is not a vision at all. It shapes your life. Shapes your life means, you know, it changes your character. Of course, the character. It will happen. When you meet Jesus, your character will be changed. And that is one aspect or phase of seeing Jesus. And that is one aspect of our Christian life. The other thing, the next phase is sharing gospel, being a witness for the Lord. It should go together. We need to be concerned about our character, of course. That's the final thing God expects from us. In Romans chapter 8, we see that we are predestined to be conformed to the image and likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. God wants us to become like Jesus Christ, and it is for that purpose we are predestined. Predestined is something that we are made for. The watch is made for something, right? When a watchmaker is making a watch, he has something in his mind. That is predestination. Likewise, when God created us, God had something in his mind. What's it? Each one of you, you and me, need to become like him, his son Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing in the life of a Christian. What? We need to become like Jesus. We need to become like whom? We need to become like Jesus. That's the most important thing. But at the same time, when you accept Jesus, naturally you start witnessing, because you cannot keep yourself away from witnessing. And when you have a vision, you are seeing things differently. When you have a vision, you are seeing things differently. Every people whom you meet, they are different. They are different. I used to tell a story in John chapter 9, verse 1 to 3, that I'll read the passage. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. See, Jesus was walking with his disciples and many Pharisees were there. And while they were seeing a man born blind, they were asking a question. What is the question? Why this man is blind? Is it because of the sins of this man or the sins of his parents? They have only two options for any kind of disaster. Okay, what is it? Either the sins of this man or the sins of his forefathers. This is the problem with many of the people. Whenever there is a disaster, whenever a person is sick, whenever a person is deformed, they say either it is because of his sins or because of his forefather's sins. And you know what Jesus said? Neither it is because of his sins, nor it is because of his father's or parents' sin. And they were wondering, hey, is there any other reason? Because they never thought that there is a third option. You get me? They were wondering. And sometimes I was just laughing, you know, or it makes me laugh whenever I read Bible. Sometimes I read between the lines. You know that my basic thing, you know, I'm a journalist, so whenever I read something, I read between the lines. I was just wondering and laughing while I was reading this passage. You know why? The question that they are asking. It is clearly written that this man is born blind. And they ask whether it is because of his sins. What does it mean? Can he sin even before he was born? You get me, my friends? So that question itself is what? There's no meaning in that. It is written that he is born blind, and these people are asking, is it because of his sins? What does it mean? And Jesus said, neither his sins nor his parents' sin. Then Jesus was just looking at that man. This is the problem. How do we see people? The problem with Pharisees and the Pentecostals, sometimes I say like that, the problem is with Pharisees and Pentecostals, because many times the Pentecostals are like the Pharisees. So what is the problem with them? A blind man on the street is not a person who needs help. A blind man on the street is a theological problem. This is our problem. We are not seeing people as people. We are seeing people as a theological problem. Whether it is because of his sin or his parents' sin. It's a theological problem. So every time, we are more dogmatic than God sometimes. This is the problem with us. Look at that man. He's a man who needs help. Look at that man. He's a man who is created in the image and likeness of God. Why can't you see people as people? Because you do not have a vision. As our uncle said yesterday, we are people of religion. We are people of religion. We are not people of gospel. We are not people of vision. We see people as a theological problem. We are not seeing people as people. We are not seeing people as they are created in the image and likeness of God. And when Jesus looked at him, he was so sad. Because he was a man who needed help. And you know what he is saying? Jesus answered them, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifested in him. This is an outcome of a vision. When we see a person, you know what we say? He's not a theological problem. He's a man created in the image and likeness of God. And God has something to do with this man. God has a purpose for this man. God has a plan for this man. This is what Jesus says. What he says, just look at it. God, why he is blind, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. So this is exactly what we need to see when this is the thing that should come to our mind when we see people in the campus, in the streets, everywhere. What's it? God has something to do with this man. You get me, my friends? When you see a person who is in trouble, when you see a person who is heading towards hell in your campus, what should come to your mind? He's a man in need. He's a person who is created in the image and likeness of God. But he is deformed. When you look at the people, you see that they are deformed. And what comes to your mind? Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to see this man in this shape. He's shapeless. He's void. He's shapeless. I'm expecting something from you, O Lord, that your work may be manifested in him. Do we have this kind of mind? So that's the reason why I say that when you have a vision, you see things differently. You're not seeing it as the other people say, see. Maybe the other people, they just see things in a very different way. Very different way. Maybe to them, it's a theological problem or a time of celebration. Or some people are seeing with jealousy, with strife, all kind of emotions, everything. But when you have a vision, you see people as persons created in the image and likeness of God. And when you see that that image is not there, that's the thing. What happens when we accept Jesus? He gives us a shape. Okay? God created heavens and earth, and it became, the earth became void and shapeless, and God recreates it. This is exactly happened in our life. We were people who were void and shapeless, and Jesus has given us a new shape, and he recreated us. But it is not the case of the people around us in your campus, and you need to see that the vision that is within you help you to see the people differently. How you can see the what is which way you can see them? It's not like the that you were seeing him last time. No, just look at him, see the people, the reality. See the reality, because the vision opens your eyes, your spiritual eyes. How can you see this? Only when your spiritual eyes are opened. When you are a normal person, see a campus student who is playing guitar and using drugs and things like that. Oh, he got enough money and must be he is very rich and he is enjoying life. This is a carnal way of seeing people. But when you have a vision, you start seeing things spiritually because your spiritual eyes are open. So when you see a person, you are not seeing his outside, but you are seeing the image in which he was created and the difference that he is having in his life or the shapelessness of a person. So then you start crying in your heart. That's where your passion becomes a reality. Each and every person who is heading towards hell, you are seeing him not as a theological problem or, oh, this should happen, only then Jesus will come. Because Jesus said, in the end times, all these things will happen like that. We are so happy when the earthquake is coming, the tsunami is coming. Oh, this should happen because the coming of the Lord is near. Thank you, Jesus. Don't say like that. You say it because you are religious, not because you are a person with a vision. If you have a person with a vision, you see the people. When you have a vision, your spiritual eyes are open and you see things spiritually. This is where vision helps us in evangelization. Then we have a passion, and when we see people differently, things differently, and everything differently, because the vision opened our spiritual eyes. Hallelujah. So How do you see things? That is the biggest question. If you have a vision, then you will see things differently. This time I just want to ask you to have a retrospection about our past life as campus student leaders. Do we have this kind of vision? How do we see people? How do we see people? The vision will change your character. I know that. The vision will change your attitude. The vision will change your mindset. The vision will change you in every respect. Every respect. The vision will change your walks of life. The vision will change your deeds. But I'm emphasizing only on one thing. What's it? All the other things are very much important. But we don't have time to tell all those things. I'm emphasizing only on one thing. The vision changes your attitude towards people. Because we are dealing with evangelization. How do you see people? I'm so sad that even people who say that they are born again, they see people not with a spiritual eye. If you see them with a spiritual eye, then you will know that he is a lost soul, a perishing soul. And if Jesus is inside you, then you are a man of love, a woman of love, a girl of love, a boy of love. If you really love the person, you somehow want to see that he is saved. That the work of the Lord will be manifested in him. The work of the Lord will be manifested in him. So then, you have only one thing in your mind. Lord, what you are going to do with this man? Lord, when you are going to do with this man? That helps you to pray for him, cry for him. That's where our burden increases. It's not that, you know, always you are preaching and preaching and preaching. The first thing that is needed is to love the people. To love the people. Many times, you know, we are not loving. I tell you, evangelism is an outcome of your love towards a person. Evangelism is an outcome of your love towards a person. Your compassion. Even we see that when Jesus saw the multitude, he moved with compassion and he started preaching to the people. When Jesus saw a multitude, multitude means big people. He moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. Sometimes, you know, when we see people coming for our meeting, we get thrilled. That's not exactly what is needed. We need to be people of compassion, people of love. Because when we see people, when Jesus was seeing people, he was seeing them spiritually. We need to see people spiritually. And what was happening when Jesus was seeing the multitude? He was sad. Why? Because he was seeing them as sheep without a shepherd. And people were confused. He was not seeing the dressing of the people. He was not seeing the magnificent things that they have as a mob. No. He was not seeing anything like that. He was seeing people spiritually. Because that's what a vision, that's what the vision does in our life. When we see people, we see them spiritually. When Jesus looked at them, he was not seeing them as a multitude or a mob, but he was seeing them as sheep. And what was troubling him? Because these people are sheep without a shepherd. And a sheep without a shepherd. What is the problem with that sheep? There is nobody to lead them. And if there is nobody to lead them, all the other animals will handle the thing somehow. But the sheep, it cannot reach a place if they do not have a shepherd. You get me, my friends? The sheep cannot reach a destination if they do not have a shepherd. It's not like, you know, a cat, if you send a cat out it will come back. A dog out, it will come back. It can, but a sheep cannot. A sheep cannot. So this is the spiritual vision we need when we see people. Look at the campus, they make a lot of noise. Look at the campus, it seems that they are enjoying. Look at the campus, a lot of colorful things everywhere. Music, dancing, internet, chatting, patting, a lot of things. You know that. I don't want to explain it. These are all expression of their frustration. Don't think that they have joy in their heart. No. These are all expression of their frustration. They somehow want to make people know that he is somebody, because he knows that he is nobody. I'm not joking. This is exactly what is happening in the campuses. Every young man, young woman want to show others that she is somebody, he is somebody. Why? Because in her heart, she knows that she is nobody. That's the reason why I say it is an expression of frustration. You get me, my friends? That's where we need to look at people with a vision. That's where we need a vision. And the vision will help you to see people spiritually. When Jesus was looking at the people, he was seeing people spiritually. And he said, oh, these people, they are sheep without a shepherd. I know that they are heading towards nowhere. This is exactly the new generation. They are heading towards nowhere. They are heading forward, but to nowhere. Am I right? This is exactly what is happening, my friends. So when you have the mind of Christ, when you have a vision, when you have a burden, you will see people spiritually. You look at the person and say, God has something to do with him. The work of the Lord might be revealed in him. Why he was born blind? What happened to him? Why all these disasters? Why people are like this? These people are going to hell. But God has to do something with them. And this time, when you are spiritual, you see people as sheep without a shepherd, heading towards nowhere. That's where you are, your heart is full of compassion. And then you kneel down, you cry, and ask God, God, send me. If you do not have this burden, there's no use of going outside. This is the burden that we need in these days. Seeing people spiritually. And asking God to commission you. Waiting in the presence of God. Of course, you are happy because your sins are washed away. You are cleansed by the tongues of fire. It's good. But you are not, still you are discontent. Not about you. Of course, you were discontent about you. And God has touched you and now you are holy. But you are not finished the target. It's not the end of the story. I have another thing that is in my mind. The people who are perishing with unclean lips, with unclean eyes, with unclean legs and hands. And that's in your mind. And you're waiting. And God is commissioning you. Let's close our eyes for some time. When you have a vision, you're seeing people differently. The problem with the Pharisees, a man who is in need on the street, he was not a person who is in need or a person who is created in the image and likeness of God, but to them, he was a theological problem. My friends, how do we see people? How do we see students in your campus? Maybe they are living a very colorful life and many kind of show-offs. Don't be dismayed seeing all these things and say, oh, great. No, never say that. Do you have a spiritual eye to see that these people are sheep without a shepherd? Do you have a spiritual eye to see that God has something to do with this man? When you see a person, will you look at him and say in your heart, I know that God has something to do with this person? That is the beginning of your burden, your mission. When you see people spiritually, when you see people in their real need and reality, in their real shape, when you are filled with compassion, then certainly God will commission you. Vision leads to compassion. Hallelujah. How do you see the people? Can you just pray, Lord, help me to see people spiritually. When people are coming towards me, when I meet people, let me see them spiritually. Let me stop asking questions whether it is because of his sins or his parents' sins. Let me stop asking questions like that. Let me see that God has something to do with him. The work of the Lord should be manifested in this man. Every person whom we meet, we need to have this attitude. Yes, God's work should be manifested in him. He's a man, he's a sheep without a shepherd. He's heading towards nowhere. Lord, he needs a shepherd. The good shepherd that you yourself. I want to see that I'm taking the hands of this man and giving the hands of this man in your hands so that you can lead him. How many of you want to become like Andrew? Once he met Jesus, and the very next day he was leading Simon Peter, his own brother, to Jesus. How many of you want to say, Lord, help me to become like Andrew? Help me to see things spiritually. How many of you want to see that you are a powerful witness for the Lord? How many of you will ask God, Lord, open my spiritual eyes. Give me a vision so that I can see things spiritually, see people spiritually. How many of you raise your hands and say, yes, Lord, I need a vision. A vision that transforms my life. A vision that gives me a new understanding of people. A vision that helps me to see things spiritually, people spiritually. A vision that will help me to see that God has something to do with this person. A vision that will help me to have compassion over the people who are heading towards nowhere. A vision that will help me to pray for them and love them. A vision that will help me to be an effective witness and leading people to Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.